and welcome to this addition to our Interfaith Futures Conversation series. So a year ago in 2024, the Cambridge Interfaith Programme hosted a series of 15 conversations, all aimed at grappling with what the future of interfaith might look like. That conversation took place in the context of the closure of the UK's Interfaith Network earlier that year, and really a group of committed folk coming together to ensure that Interfaith Week would keep going. Since then, there was a national consultation on Interfaith Week funded by the Ministry of Housing, Community and Local Government that took place January through March in 2025 and reported back in May. One of the recommendations from that was that there should be something more prominent and done to get Interfaith Week going. That recommendation has been taken up, and we were able to send along a few students to suss out what kind of difference that makes. So here today with me are Tassie, Alice and Tom, students from the Faculty of Divinity at the University of Cambridge, who made their way to London last week for the national launch event for Interfaith Week. And we're going to be chatting about what that was like, and also for them, what interfaith might mean and what they think of interfaith futures. So I'm going to hand over first to Tassie. And the question, well, I'd like you to introduce yourself a little bit, but also I'm really curious, was Interfaith Week something that you were already aware of? And if it was, what did you associate with it? What do you associate with it?
Hi, I'm Tassie. I'm a first year undergraduate in the Faculty of Divinity. On Interfaith Week, I was not initially aware of the specific project of National Interfaith Week. I was aware of the wider interfaith project, but not this one specifically, and not the specific aims of these. So for me, it was really interesting and exciting to see a whole new branch of what was going on sort of in my area of study.
Thanks. Crossing over then to Alice.
Hi, I'm Alice. I'm a third year undergraduate. I actually wasn't aware of Interfaith Week like Tassie. I only really had looked at interfaith dialogues through my studies. And what do I associate with Interfaith Week? After going to the event, I think the focus on community was what I really liked about it, and the different sections of society coming together, these different faith groups all in one room, was really nice to watch and be a part of.
Thanks, Alice. And Tom?
So I'm Tom, I'm a first year undergrad in Divinity here at Jesus College, and I had heard a few things about interfaith. My former religious studies philosophy teacher in my sixth form spoke quite passionately about the importance of interfaith, and he had mentioned that Cambridge was a place where there was lots of opportunities to get involved in various interfaith things, but especially from the academic point of view. So things like scriptural reasoning was something that I'd looked into a little bit, but actually this side of the Interfaith Week wasn't really something I knew much about. And generally what I seem to associate with it now is something that is less academic and more pragmatic and social, and kind of implementing a lot of the academic side that Cambridge does very well, and the kind of more, you know, sitting down, for example, representatives of each Abrahamic faith and discussing. But it's not just discussing, we're now trying to move it towards policy. And obviously that January through March period of consultation that has resulted in money being given for the cause of interfaith was clearly a good result of that movement from academic to pragmatic.
Thank you. So this year, as has been alluded to, there was a theme chosen for Interfaith Week. That theme is community. Community, together we serve. Clearly a bit of that was evident in what happened last Thursday. So I want to ask you what you think that that launch event suggested about the future of interfaith, to flesh out that conversation for the many people who might be listening to this who weren't there. Let's try and anchor that in something specific that happened. Or maybe we could take a turn to reflect on a specific element, talk about what you recall that actually happened as we go. So coming to you first, Tom.
Sure, yeah. The main thing that sticks in my mind is this social interaction of talking to lots of different people who had very important roles in communities, think tanks, organizations. Notably, I remember speaking to a guy who was head of an APPG, an all-party parliamentary group. I think he was the chair of this group that is all about interfaith and essentially tries to breed successfully integrated communities in which they kind of alleviate any tensions that could be caused from religion. So what sticks in my head really was those kind of interactions with people who know lots and have connections to parliament and various organizations that are important with interfaith, but also talks from two lords, Lord Rook and Lord Khan, I thought were very insightful people who have obviously been within Westminster and are trying to navigate change from the inside, giving their insights from quite illustrious careers. So they were my two most notable takeaways, I think.
Thank you. Coming to Alice then, what stood out for you? What's still resonating?
I think, to echo Tom, I found the speeches quite inspiring, especially the former Minister of Faiths and Community, Lord Khan, talking about the need for interdepartmental communication about faith in government. And I think the focus on the next generation as well was a big part of the event, focus on the youth and education, especially in the context of post October 7th as well. That was a big focus on the desperate need for interfaith dialogue when tensions are rising quite high between different faith communities and we see a rise of Islamophobia and anti-Semitism. There was also, I like the focus on the role of faith communities. It's something I hadn't fully taken on board, that the different faith communities can reach places where government can't. So that was really interesting to hear about as well on the day.
Thank you, Alice. Tassie, what stood out for you?
The thing that really struck me was actually the range of ages of people there. And this was actually made a lot of at the event itself. They were very keen to encourage young people to get involved with the interfaith project. And it was really nice to see that there was a huge mix of age ranges. We actually had quite a lot of young people there getting involved, either from a current academic perspective or who were already beginning to work in the interfaith space. We even had a group of school children from the local area come to watch one of the performances that was put on, which I thought was absolutely lovely, not only to see young people coming into this interfaith space, but also to see that the local community was getting involved.
Thank you. So this event took place at St. Martin in the Fields in the centre of London. In the introduction, so we had the Right Honourable Miatta Farnbuller, who is now the person holding the brief, the Minister of Faith. And she spoke back to an event that had taken place there about 18 months previously in the run-up to the general election, where there had been a hustings that was run on an interfaith basis, so an interfaith conversation about what was wanted from the next government. And at that hustings, there was an open letter being launched that was addressed to the government saying there should be more space for faith communities to be involved with policy, because in situations, often in crisis situations, so in Grenfell, during the pandemic, it was very evident that faith communities had a capacity to step up and step in where government itself would otherwise have fallen short. And so then a demand in that letter to say, look, recognise us as partners, recognise us as people that can work with government and can think with government to address some of the kind of challenges that come up in society. And Alice, as you've alluded to, there certainly are challenges facing society that are very obviously faith-related, or at least seem to be faith-related, even though they have their political dimensions. So that's a really long way round getting to say, I'm really curious, for you guys as students, divinity students, someone studying theology and religion at the University of Cambridge, do events like this seem relevant to your studies on the one hand? And I know, Tommy, you've already alluded to like that kind of thing of, you know, sometimes we spend time thinking of academics and other times we're being other parts of ourselves and engaging possibly as people of faith and members of society as citizens. So do events like this seem relevant to your studies and what you might hope to do next, whether that's professionally, more broadly? Obviously asking first year students to think that far ahead, I know it could be challenging, but I'm just really curious, why was this something you wanted to go along to, and how do you see your future alongside interfaith futures? Alice, I'm going to come to you first.
I think interfaith dialogue is very important in general because we live in a majority religious world and we all are either, you know, people of faith ourselves or interact with people of faith. I think that side of it is very important. I'm now third year. I'm thinking about doing a master's as well. And talking to people at the event, it was really inspiring because I saw what kind of, you know, jobs you can be involved with or organizations you can work for that involve community work and working with people of faith to promote tolerance and just to make society a better place. So I thought that was really inspiring.
Thank you. Paul.
Yeah, I would definitely say that I have had a keen interest in politics and obviously religion and how those two interact with one another for a while. So that was largely my motivation for going. I think also it's potentially a thing that if there were to be some sort of role in the future that came up that I'd really be interested in working for. I came across a think tank called Theos the other day that is almost exclusively dedicated to unpacking issues like these from an academic point of view. And there's one called EARS, the European Association for a Religious Society or something. And that was just everywhere in Europe. Lots of different academics from European universities come together and also answer these questions. And it was through that one, actually, that I started researching a lot about France and France's interaction with religion as quite a thoroughgoing secular society in which there is a lot of tension, a lot of, as Alice mentioned, anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, and religious education and why that's important, and why in France, how they have a lack of religious education in state schools. You basically have to pay to go to private school, I found out, in order to get a religious education. And if you did that and you might pay to go to a Catholic school, I would only receive catechism classes. So I'm only going to be educated about my own religion if I even have enough money to go that far. So what could this lead to in society? Well, France has an incredibly high amount of religious hate crimes. There is a lack of understanding. And then overall, their kind of levels of even things like religiously motivated terrorism are a lot higher. But people don't tend to correlate that with France's policy for religious education. They correlate that with, you know, a spike in people from certain religions, right? So flipping that narrative from France has been something I've been looking into a little bit. And that was another reason I thought this would be a good way of going to, of navigating that interest. So yeah, I'd hopefully like to see my future align with the interfaith future, but perhaps in a way that adopts a different approach that France has taken and champions kind of more let's hear from everyone instead of let's hear from no one.
Thank you, Tom. Handing then to Tassie.
Yeah, so a lot like Tom, I'm very interested in politics and policy, especially around faith. And I found it incredibly interesting to, you know, listen to everybody who's working as a politician, either in the Lords or in the Commons and in the civil service, to hear about the work that they were doing. But I think as a student in the Faculty of Divinity, to try and study any faith in the modern world in isolation is utterly futile, because we live in a multi-faith society. There will be interactions between people of various different faiths, and they will take place every single day. So to just ignore the issue of interfaith work entirely in your academic studies, I feel like misses an entire key part of what religion means today. So I think as students within the Faculty of Divinity, it's incredibly important that we examine how interfaith projects just like this are changing the way that we see religion in the modern world today.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, all three of you, for taking the time, first of all, to go to that event, to go and explore something, a new space, and then for sharing this time with me to kind of reflect on that and distill back. Because this was a new level of engagement for each of you with interfaith. I hope that you feel like you've been part of bursting the bubble, which was the underlying finding of the consultation. We need to get more people involved in this. It's not reaching far enough. So thank you so much for joining me today. And we've heard about the importance of understanding religion in politics, why religious literacy can be important in different spaces. I'm sure there will be people cheering at the kind of championship for religious education that you put forward as well. Great talking with you all. Thank you so much.